Welcome to the Story Engine Podcast, where we teach you how to make marketing easier, more powerful, and fun through storytelling. I'm your host, Kyle Gray. Each week, we learn from top entrepreneurs, influencers, and world changers on how to share your story through content, copywriting, and speaking, and how to make your message your most powerful marketing tool. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Story Engine Podcast. My name is Kyle Gray, and today we're diving back into one of my favorite subjects to explore on this show, which is your clients. More importantly, your ideal clients. Today, we're not going to be talking quite as much about ideal clients and what to look for as red flags in non-ideal clients that you need to watch out for in your sales process. Because one of the fastest ways to run your business into the ground is to take on clients who are bad fits for your program, who don't appreciate the value and are going to tax your energy and take it away from clients who really could benefit from it. Now, a lot of people, especially early on when they're selling programs of whatever type, group, online, offline, they try and get anybody who will pay for it in there, and it's exciting to make a sale. But sometimes you overlook what is possibly a red flag in the sales process that comes up and bites you later on. Getting a sale today that eventually becomes a refund after a long drawn out headache and email fiery correspondence is not really what you want. So you want to avoid that ahead of time. This means when you are in your sales process talking with potential clients about your program, your job is not only to get them excited and interested in the program you have to offer, but you need to be screening them to make sure that they are a good fit for it. And so today, I'm going to share some common red flags that you can watch out for in new clients or maybe in your current clients to give you a better idea of what exactly you should say no to and hold your boundaries on for the sake of serving the clients who really can benefit from what you have to offer. So let's dive into the first one. This is the defibrillate client. This is something that I have spoken of on the podcast before, but it's the type of client that says something like, oh, things aren't working right now, our business isn't working right now, but as soon as we get your expertise, my life isn't working right now, but as soon as I get you in here, everything's going to turn on. Everything's going to start to work. If they believe that you and entirely you are their savior and everything is going to be turned around with your help, they are bound to be disappointed no matter how good of a job you do. So make sure that instead of a defibrillate client, like somebody that you're going to electrocute and bring back to life, you want a win more client. You want to feel like this client is going to succeed whether or not they work with you, and you are just going to help them succeed more, faster, better. That's what you want to look for. Red flag number two. Look out for words like quick, easy, simple when describing a project or a job that somebody wants to bring to you. You want to watch out for anybody who's diminishing the value of the work that they're about to ask you to do even before they start talking about it. And so anything like quick and easy not only is a sign that they are underestimating what's going to go into this project, but they're not entirely valuing it. What you want to look for instead is an interest in your perspective and your expertise on the problem and your assessment of it. If they see you as a partner with a point of view on this, not just somebody who's here to solve an oversimplified and underestimated problem for the company. Which brings me to my third red flag, which is very similar. You can tell that the client doesn't have a clear understanding of the problem that they have. Now, this in some cases, if you're a health coach, might be fine. They probably don't fully understand a health condition that they're working with. But in that case, you are at least clear on the problem and can guide them. If they present to you a series of problems that they're not clear on, and you're not really sure if you fully understand, it's better to turn that one down for a client or a project or a problem that you're very clear on and confident in understanding. When you don't fully understand the problem, then you don't know the scope, and all kinds of things can get out of control. Number four is having troubled relationships with past coaches, consultants, people that they have worked with. It's important to ask them if they've done any programs or anything similar to what you've worked with and what the results were. If they've been through several people and have not gotten the results that they've been seeking and are blaming consistently other people for their failures without taking any responsibility for the problem, there's a good chance that you're going to be the next one that they blame for not being successful. And so instead of letting somebody like that on, you want somebody who has been successful with people like you before that have implemented, that are happy to invest in someone like you because they understand the results.
Hey friends, I wanted to take a quick break from the podcast to share something really exciting with you. You see, over the last few years, I've helped hundreds of entrepreneurs, coaches, and thought leaders just like you create powerful and high-converting presentations that allows them to enroll their customers and grow their business with their story. I've worked with many brilliant thought leaders and well-known names, and I've worked with many aspiring thought leaders who are just getting started. And I have found that there are five key and common mistakes that most people are making when creating presentations that are killing their sales. These mistakes are often counterintuitive, and so sometimes I need to employ some brutal honesty in order to get it through to my clients how important it is to correct these mistakes. I've gotten these mistakes written down in a guide that I use with all of my clients, and I want to share this same guide with you so you can avoid these costly and painful mistakes in your next presentation and start to see a boost in your sales as soon as you start to correct them. If you'd like this list, go to thestoryengine.co/honest. That's thestoryengine.co/honest, and I would love to know what you think and what you're working on. All right, let's get back to the show.
Number five, I'm in a rush. When a potential client comes to you with an urgent project, sometimes that seems like a good sign to maybe bump up your prices a little bit, but it also is a sign that there could be some other problems behind the scenes somewhere. A lot of times, at best, this can mean that there's some disorganization on the scene, and so they're going to be rushing, and you may not get all of the pieces that you need to be successful, or there may be a lot of extra work that is not accounted for right away that needs to get done in this high-urgency rush situation. So be very careful when someone is in a rush. Number six, trying to change the agreement after the agreement has been made. This often means trying to add an idea in, get a little bit of extra work, add a little bit more to the scope of the project. Even a little new idea that's not agreed on can be a gateway for a lot of other new ideas that can completely take your project or the work you're doing off course and ensure that nobody gets a result that they're looking for. So be very clear up front about what the scope of your work is, what the boundaries of your work are, and don't let anybody change that. Because again, even a small change can add up to a big difference in results over time and a lot of either trouble or good opportunity with the right client. Number 7 is just some fundamental respect. Respect for you as a professional, respect for you as a human, and respect for the work that you do and the value you create. If they don't show a personal level of respect for you, especially early on in the sales process and sizing up, if you're going to work with somebody, then you shouldn't expect them to be respectful later on if any challenges or unforeseen circumstances come up in the way. So make sure that you feel respected right from the get-go when screening your clients. Number 8 are the meddlers. These are people that hire you that have some sort of knowledge in the way that you work. And so they like to try and compartmentalize what you do. I want parts A and C of what you do, but I'm still going to handle part B. And a lot of the times they'll try and control the situation too much instead of deferring to your expertise, and you end up in this adversarial relationship against your client instead of both of you working together. This goes back to respect, the last point. They need to respect you. And even if somebody pays you, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the respect for your services that is necessary for you to be successful. And so you want to make sure that that happens beforehand, and they need to be able to allow you to go through your whole process. Red flag number 8 is seeking validation. Number 8 is seeking too much validation. If your clients are constantly looking to you to green light or approve of everything that they're doing, every tiny detail, and make sure that you see and improve it all, but at the same time not always implementing or making a lot of changes or doing very much, you give them recommendations for what to do, but they keep coming back feeling like it's not good enough. These are people who are looking for validation and to feel good, but they can't feel good on their own. And instead of listening to what you have to say or what you have to share, they're consistently trying to vampire energy from you and other clients. And so make sure that you can tell the difference between somebody who's really looking for validation and permission all of the time to somebody who's looking for insight and guidance and has their own permission to succeed. Number 9 is weak links. Look for weak links in their business. For example, for me, I work with people on presentations, but a good presentation is just one part of a well-constructed sales process, which also involves some email automation, copywriting, landing pages, and most importantly, a great offer. Now, I can help somebody write the most incredible speech in the world, but if at the time somebody makes this greatest speech in the world and makes an offer from the stage, and they have a bad sales page that doesn't even work, then it doesn't matter how good the speech is, because there's not going to be sales. These are the weak links that I'm talking about. And so when working with a client, you want to understand all of the different elements that go into creating success upstream and downstream of the special work that you're doing, and to make sure that there are no weak links that are going to end up undercutting your results. And finally, number 10, offering alternate forms of trade or payment to cover something. Now, there's a caveat to this, because I've done a lot of work and skill trade, and it has been some of the most fun and valuable partnerships of my life. But the most valuable ones are people that I have a well-established relationship with, and I have been a client or we have exchanged money for long enough to really trust each other. Now, these trade and alternate form of payments work really well. but somebody early on who you don't know that well, and maybe you're making a stretch to let them into the program and they want to pay you double once they're finally successful or with equity in their company or exposure and a shout out once they're really big. Maybe, but I would be very, very wary of making any kind of deals like this, especially early on. Stick to your value, stick to your pricing, no trades. And there you have it. Those are 10 red flags that you should keep an eye out for in your sales process when you're screening your clients, because one bad client can drain the energy of your program. And so it's very worth taking the time to make sure that everybody that you work with is worthy and can receive the maximum benefit of what you do. I hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Story Engine Podcast. Please share this with somebody who needs to hear this message and rate and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to the Story Engine Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes and resources mentioned on this episode and every other episode at thestoryengine.co. If you're looking to learn more about how to use storytelling to grow your business, then check out my new book, Selling with Story: How to Use Storytelling to Become an Authority, Boost Sales, and Win the Hearts and Minds of Your Audience. This book will equip you with actionable strategies and templates to help you share your unique value and build trust in presentations, sales, and conversations both online and offline. Learn more at sellingwithstory.co. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.